Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest from your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have gathered together this morning to pay homage to our Christian homes, to the influence of our Christian mothers and fathers. I want to read for you this morning from the 15th chapter of Luke, a familiar passage, the passage of the prodigal son, a passage that deals with the Christian home. We will begin reading with the 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked, what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. Thus we have read from God's Word.
I would like to give a reading entitled, A Man Called Father. What can one say in this day and age when parents are criticized by everyone? By youth and adults alike, by grandparents of another generation, by sociologists and psychologists, by their children and by themselves. We know the charges brought time and again. Parents are too hard on youth, which drives them to lawlessness. Parents are too soft on youth, which drives them to lawlessness. Control needs to be tighter, and parents need to be more strict. Freedom is the word today, and he who allows little freedom is a poor parent. The law should be much more harsh on delinquent youth. The law should punish parents because delinquent parents are behind delinquent youth. And who is this man called father? He's away from home from dawn to dark. He has no time for his family because his time is taken up providing for them. He's caught in the rush and must make the buck. He's a victim of our times and culture, which tell him how to dress, who to befriend, what car to drive, what soap to use, what drink to drink, what smoke to smoke, what lather to buy, what lotion to use, what to say, what games to play, how to close the deal, and how to be a family man besides. Is this the picture, the whole picture, and nothing but the picture? And what of the home without a dad? Everyone is caught up in at least some of this, but there is another side which must be heard. Fathers are different sizes and shapes, colors and shades, farmers, bankers, laborers, teachers, workers, preachers. You name it, they are rich or poor, or in between. They are strict and soft, stern and gay, each one different, one from the other. And they cope with a complex and sometimes cruel culture, but they have a common motivation to get ahead, so their kids can get ahead, so that they can do better than dad. Not just in buildings and lands and business and things, but in peace and understanding, in trust and in truth. So how can father and his sons reach the goal of peace and prosperity, of equity, justice, and plenty? The answer is found in these words. You see, God tried talking to men way back when. He spoke through the prophets, through judges, through the law, through kings and priests, and he speaks to us to be sure, through nature, through history, through others, through the whole of creation. But when he wanted to show man what God is really like, when he wanted to show man what God really wanted him to be, when he wanted a personal word with man, then he came in person. We call that person Jesus the Christ, the man from way back when, and when Christ came, he showed us how to live. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our Father, bring blessings to the homes of thy people, that in them true love may abound and abide. May all of us who look back along the paths of memory catch inspiration and incentive to walk our future road with wisdom and courage. Strengthen the bonds of love in all our homes and between all members of our families. We live, O God, in a time when home life seems to deteriorate. Both riches and poverty are disruptive. We suffer a loss of decency. The values of truth, goodness, and beauty are being lost. Help all parents to exemplify the Christian virtues to their children and stir their children to respond to the examples of their parents. May all grow in the knowledge of Christ and seek to do his will. Give us courage to fight all enemies of the Christian home. Bring us into a new day, O God, when by the abiding presence of Christ in our homes and our obedience to him, faith and hope and love may prevail, and we shall know the joy and peace of the life abundant which Christ came to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It has fallen my lot to speak to the woman's role in the home. As I was contemplating the mostly male audience that I knew that I would face here today, I was reminded of a certain story. It rises out of the local church situation in which we're all involved, so I hope that you'll at least be able to feel a certain measure of empathy. It seems there was a young pastor fresh out of the seminary who went to his first charge, and in this pastorate he had a very goodly flock, but there was one man in this flock that it seems his sole Christian virtue was very faithful attendance upon the regular morning worship service. On the debit side of this man's ledger were many things we might consider sin, not the least of which were shady business dealings in the small business that he ran in the town. The young pastor determined to uproot all of the serpents that he could in his first year of the ministry, decided to address himself to the sins of this particular man in his church, knowing full well that because of his regular attendance, he would be there that Sunday morning. So as the young pastor rose to the pulpit, he addressed himself almost completely to the repulsiveness and the sinfulness of this shady dealings which this man was involved in. And he tried to zero in as well as he could on this matter of shady dealings. At the close of his sermon, he was almost afraid he'd been too explicit. And as he went to the door to greet his parishioners, this man was one of the first to come to him. His word to the pastor was this: "Pastor, you really told them this morning. Certainly enjoyed that sermon." The young pastor was a little disgruntled. He said, "Maybe I wasn't quite explicit enough in my preaching." So the next Sunday he decided to have at it again. On that Sunday he was even more explicit. He dealt very clearly with this problem, and even to the point of actually pointing his finger at the particular man and saying, "Don't you think we need to do away with this sin in our lives?" The young man went to the back of his church after the sermon in fear and trembling, lest he'd said too much. But sure enough, there was his parishioner there, and he met him with these words: "Pastor, I really enjoyed that sermon you really told them this morning." The next Sunday was a bad weather day. They had had some snow. And the pastor even thought of canceling the service. But I guess in the words we've gotten from the entertainment world, the show must go on. So he decided to have services anyway and preach to whoever was there. Well, when he rang the bell for the 11 o'clock hour, there were only two people, the pastor and this very faithful parishioner. At first, the pastor decided to call off his sermon in favor of the small attendance he had. But finally, he said, "No, this might be the only opportunity I'll have to address this man directly." So he took to his pulpit and got out his prepared notes and preached again on this subject. And certainly with this being the only man in the congregation, he knew that he was getting home and that the application would be made. He brought his sermon to a close and walked down from the pulpit to grasp the hand of this man. I think the reply that the man gave him was very interesting and applicable to our situation this morning. The aged parishioner said, "Pastor, you really told them this morning. I just wish they were here to hear you." I'm glad to see a few ladies in the congregation this morning, lest I preach solely to masculine ears and be accused of not having a subject that is at all related to our experience. If you have your canons, if you would turn to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, I'd like to read the closing verses of this 31st chapter. I don't have a testament that would give us the modern day application for some of these tasks, but perhaps with our theological training we could do so in our own minds. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand she planteth in a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And then in closing this short verse, taken from the poem, The Modern Woman. Modern mom comes from a long line of workers. There was Eve, the mother of all the living, Miriam and Ruth, Sarah and Rachel. Then there was Esther, of humble birth, true to her faith, delight to the king, courageous in danger, deliverer of her people. And Martha, servant of Christ, concerned about many things, faithful in commitment, ecstatic at the resurrection, and Mary, mother of Jesus, and a million more of faith, courage, compassion, sacrifice. Look to the Bible. Look to history. Look around. Here you see woman after woman outstanding in their own right. And then the familiar passage in closing we know so well. Behind every great woman, every great man, stands a great woman.
Draw near to us and to one another in our individual families. Help us to remember that our family life is a vital dimension of a wider fellowship, the family of God. Bless our mothers and our fathers and give them the strength to carry on their God-given tasks, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.